Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. On this day in 1956, Elvis Presley introduced his new single, Hound Dog, on the Milton Berle Show, scandalizing the audience with his suggestive hip movements. For 20 years, the Thai Park has been an institution on the weekends in Preußenpark. It began as a meeting place for women from Southeast Asia who cooked there and sold their food to passersby. The atmosphere of the place was family-like, then more and more people joined in, and restaurants also began to cook there. It went well for a long time, but in recent years there have been disputes. The hustle and bustle and the many blue garbage bags after the end of the selling disturbed the residents, as well as the fact that the expansive lawn is overused and has no time for regeneration. The protests became louder and the district office saw a need for action. Police and law enforcement are to be more present in the park, which is why officers were there on site last Saturday and the market was closed down. On a hats of the CDU, the district town councilor for regulatory affairs said on Monday, quote, "We don't want to ruin the market. We want to show the residents that we're doing something." In other words, the market could generally continue to take place. The park is now to be reorganized, and the district office invited students of the TU Berlin to draw up plans for its redesign. The results were presented at a citizens' meeting in the spring. The plan, Heimathafen Multikulturelle Begegnungszone, or Homeport Multicultural Meeting Zone, by Lena Ann Sommer, 29 years old, and Robin Schick, 24 years old, master's students in landscape architecture, met with the most approval. The playground at the entrance to Konstanzestrasse will be moved to the middle of the park, according to the design. In its place, an approximately 1,000 square meter paved area will be built with a multifunctional building at its edge, which will house a kiosk, toilets, a laundry room, and possibly a cafe. It is to serve as a shelter for so-called market mobiles, or carts for the vendors, which will still have to be built. The carts are then to be picked up from the warehouse in the mornings and returned in the evenings. The redesign also includes electricity and water connections, which are intended to improve the general hygiene of the park. The district is currently commissioning a planning office to work out a concrete plan in cooperation with the students, and the new solution will be presented at a citizens' meeting in autumn. Cooks from the Thai Park, who are reported to be skeptical about the redesign, will also be heard. The changes are to be implemented in the coming year. At many elementary schools in Berlin, young girls are wearing Muslim headscarves, even though they are not yet at the age of religious maturity. Parents and other family members usually determine this. Per reporting in the Berliner Zeitung, headmasters in Neukölln report an increasing number of girls wearing headscarves at their primary schools and are now asking if young girls are religiously indoctrinated at an early age and possibly against their will. And how is this compatible with the freedom of religion guaranteed by the basic law and the parents' right of upbringing? Therefore, the headscarf is once again becoming a topic for discussion in Berlin, especially since primary school children in Austria were forbidden by law to wear them. North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany's largest federal state, is now also considering this. But what do Berliners think of this delicate question? Surprisingly, a good half of Berliners think the Austrian law is a good thing. This was the result of a representative survey conducted by the opinion research institute Forza on behalf of the Berliner Zeitung. Exactly 51% of the respondents are in favor of a ban on headscarves for girls at primary schools in Berlin, and 44% of the respondents are against it. On closer inspection, this question opens up deep divisions. In particular, according to reporting, it seems to be a generational issue. While the majority of people over 45 years of age approve of such a headscarf ban at primary schools, younger Berliners reject it. Among the under 30-year-olds, 74% are against such a ban, while 63% of the 45 to 59-year-olds and even 69% of those 60 years of age and older favor a ban. East Berliners at 55% are more opposed to the wearing of headscarves at primary schools than people from the Western districts at 49%. The majority of SPD and Left Party, 55% each, and Greens, 52%, reject a headscarf ban at primary schools. The majority of the otherwise liberal FDP at 64%, the CDU at 76%, and almost all AFD supporters, 95%, support the ban. Incidentally, there are no reliable figures on how many primary school girls actually wear headscarves. According to the report, Berliners are much more rigid when it comes not only to the headscarf, but to all religious symbols. According to Forza, a clear majority of Berliners are in favor of banning religious symbols in state schools in general. 59% of Berliners support pupils not wearing headscarves, crosses, or kippahs, and 38% are against it. The report illustrates that young people without religious denominations and interviewees from the east of Berlin speak out much more frequently against religious symbols than younger people, Catholics, and people living in the west of Berlin. Seen in this light, it is consistent that a three-quarter majority of the capital city residents questioned approve of the Berlin Neutrality Act. The broad approval is surprising because there's recently been fierce controversy as to whether the law is still up to date and constitutionally compliant. 76% think it is accurate that teachers in general schools are not permitted to wear religious symbols, such as a headscarf, kippah, or cross. In contrast, in recent years, several Muslim teachers went to the labor court and were awarded compensation in several cases because they were not allowed to work while wearing a headscarf. 2 years ago, a teacher in Wedding had to remove a large fish emblem, the Christian ichthys symbol, from her jacket because of the neutrality law. The opinion research institute Forsa interviewed 1,006 Berliners between the 20th and 27th of May. Environmental Senator Regina Günther, non-party for the Greens, has announced almost 10 million euros in subsidies to house owners, as decided by the Senate on Tuesday, on the basis of Günther's submission. 6 million euros in grants and subsidies will be available for the replacement of up to 1,200 old oil heaters, and 3.5 million will be used to subsidize 1,000 green rooftops. Günther explained her initiative, quote, "We are already feeling the rapid warming of the climate in Berlin today," and went on to explain that with the greening of 1,000 rooftops, the city will become a bit more, quote, "climate robust." Green rooftops hold back rainwater, which helps to prevent the sewage system from being overloaded so quickly during heavy rainfall. And in addition, they cool through evaporation and improve the air. Günther announced, quote, "attractive recreational areas for people and new habitats for insects, birds, and plants will be created." The subsidy is given upon application as a grant of 75%, maximum 60,000 euros per building and a maximum of 60 euros per square meter, for at least 100 square meters of roof area. In addition, there are subsidies of up to 100% of the costs for, quote, "particularly innovative, experimental, and public interest projects with an exemplary character." Günther wants to save up to 30,000 tons of CO2 with the heating exchange program. With the support program, Berlin is compensating the completely distorted tax incentives of the federal government, which prefers oil heating systems that are particularly harmful to the climate. Günther called on the federal government to finally end the privileged treatment of CO2-intensive energy sources. With the subsidy money, owners of detached houses, semi-detached houses, and smaller apartment buildings can replace their old oil heating systems with heat pumps, wood pellet boilers, or solar thermal systems. The Senate is making up to 6 million euros available for funding under the 2020-2021 dual budget. With this money, the exchange of at least 1,200 heaters with renewable energy sources could be promoted. At present, there are still approximately 66,000 oil heaters in Berlin. In 2016, the consumption of fuel oil in residential areas was responsible for the output of 1.2 million tons of CO2. That is well 6% of the entire citizens of Berlin CO2 emissions, which was estimated at 20.1 million tons. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.